Hello everybody, welcome to our latest Behind the Case video where I will cover the Freiner v. Secretary of the Executive Office of Health and Human Services. This case was released on June 14th from the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, and it's a really important and interesting case regarding spousal refusal. So I'll hop right into the case facts and we can get into this case and what makes it so interesting. So we'll start with the case facts here. We have Costa and Mary Tingos. They were married in 1957 and lived together until 2015 when Costa was then 82 years old. He moved into a nursing home. Both spouses contributed financially to the marriage, and in 2013, they started keeping their income and assets separate. So everything was together, and then 2003, then they separated things. But they continued to live together, and they filed their taxes jointly. There's some information in the case that the marriage wasn't always super great, but they decided to fight through it, and they kept living together and, again, filing their taxes jointly. So when Costa ends up moving into the nursing home, Mary stayed involved in his life, coordinated his care, served as his attorney, in fact, under his power of attorney, so she could go manage his bank account and pay his bills on his behalf. So she was still around helping take care of Costa when he was in the nursing home. And then in 2015, when this case starts, and it's now 2024, they apply for Medicaid benefits for Costa. In his application, what he states is, "For decades, my wife and I have kept our income and assets almost entirely separate. Although I lived with her in her home and or apartment, I contributed some expenses, such as cable and utilities. Mary is refusing to support me financially or cooperate with my application for benefits or provide information. I hereby assign to MassHealth my rights to obtain spousal refusal." So what they're attempting to do with this application is say, Mary is not involved. She's refusing to help me. I'm therefore assigning my rights to MassHealth in order to obtain spousal refusal as a way to qualify for Medicaid benefits. So in the application, Costa discloses certain financial information, including their joint tax returns, but did not provide additional requested information regarding Mary's income and assets. So he gave them some of the information that he was involved in, but nothing additionally regarding Mary's income and assets. So predictably, on December of 2015, MassHealth issued a denial, which stated, "You did not give MassHealth the information it needs to decide your eligibility within the required time frame." So they give a denial in December of 2015. Costa appeals that decision in Massachusetts. It goes to a board, and then the board can then be reviewed for judicial review. But Costa appeals the decision to that board. It was denied by an administrative appeal because he did not demonstrate by a preponderance of evidence that his spouse will not cooperate. So they said, "You didn't prove that she didn't cooperate with you. Therefore, we didn't get enough information and we're going to deny your application." He appeals that for judicial review, and the court says, "Actually, agency, we're going to vacate that decision." And this happened in February 2018. I don't know what happened in the 2 years between there. And then they remanded it back to the board. So it goes back to the board for them to review again. On the second hearing, there's more testimony that comes out there. Costa testifies that his attorney had asked Mary for the information and she refused to provide that request information. It wasn't him specifically that asked for it, but it was his attorney. And Mary also submitted an affidavit that stated, "I refused to cooperate with my husband with his application for MassHealth long-term care benefits, and I will not provide him with any information regarding my income, assets, and other financial information." So Mary's on the record saying, "I'm not going to cooperate with this application." The board denies his appeal again, concluding that the applicant has a duty to make reasonable efforts to access his spouse's income and assets, and Costa has not demonstrated that he has made any such efforts. He again goes for judicial review, and once again, it's vacated by the courts because he had not received sufficient notice that he would be required to demonstrate specific effort to access Mary's financial information. So guess where we go? We're going back to the board. So in March of 2020, now 5 years have gone since the original application, the board affirmed the denial again, stating that the record suggests a long-term and ongoing level of cooperation between the couple and that he had not fulfilled his duty to cooperate with MassHealth. The board also stated that Mary's other actions, both past and present, belie the notion that she is a non-cooperating spouse. So now they're starting to look outside of this application and say, this couple has made it work for 50 years, and just because she's refusing to cooperate with this application doesn't reach the level of refusing to cooperate that's needed per the rules. And we'll get into that as we dive deeper. I like this case also because there's some really good turns of phrase that I tried to include in here to kind of get a flavor of how the judges wrote this. One of those be belie the notion that she is a non-cooperating spouse. So a fun case to read and well written. It always makes it a lot more fun to read those cases. In February of 2022, finally, a judge affirmed the board's decision, and then the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts comes and scoops this case up from an appeal to the judge's affirmation of the board's decision on its own motion. So that's how we ended up at the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts. They came and scooped it up on their own motion from the appeals court. So the court, in their holding, reviews the purpose of the Medicaid program and how the community spouse's assets are considered for eligibility, and they really zero in on the history of the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act of 1988, or MCCA, and they state whose purpose was to protect the community spouse from forced pauperization and to eliminate loopholes that allow well-resourced couples to hoard their assets away. So they focus on MCCA and its purpose to make sure community spouses aren't impoverished, but at the same time, closing loopholes that folks were using prior to 1988 to stash away and hoard their assets away. They state that MCCA imposes two requirements on state Medicaid agencies. First, an agency must calculate the total value of the couple's resources, regardless of whether those resources are jointly owned or owned by one spouse in that spouse's sole name. When I'm teaching Medicaid planning, this is always a difficult concept for attorneys specifically to wrap their heads around, because even though the applicant's spouse, it's not any property that's in their name, it will be counted towards the CSRA, which is that second requirement that the state Medicaid agency has to do, is determine the CSRA, or the community spouse resource allowance. MCCA also allows applicants whose assets exceed the CSRA to qualify for benefits if the institutionalized spouse has assigned to the state any rights to support from the community spouse per 42 USC 1396R. And I wanted to include that citation because that's the federal regulation over the spousal refusal strategy, where basically you can still have assets above the CSRA so long as you state, my spouse refuses to take care of me, I assign my rights of support to the state, and then the state agency, that assignment allows the state agency to seek reimbursement of its cost that they would spend on the applicant from the community spouse. So that's where that lives within the federal statutes, is 1396R. We spend so much time in 42 USC 1396P when we're thinking Medicaid. We look to R for spousal refusal. Importantly, the provision applies only where the couple's total combined resources are disclosed, because it permits the agency to determine whether seeking to pursue its assigned rights is worthwhile. So they do highlight that that disclosure needs to happen so the state knows whether or not they should go after those that community spouse's assets. But the federal rule does not state what to do in the situation where this community spouse's information is not available, and Massachusetts has filled that in with a regulation of their own that states an institutionalized spouse whose community spouse refuses to cooperate or whose whereabouts is unknown, and that bold section, refuses to cooperate or whose whereabouts is unknown, is going to be kind of the crux of this whole case, will be ineligible due to the inability to provide information concerning the assets of the community spouse when the institutionalized spouse assigns the Mass Health Agency any right to support from the community spouse. I bolded that section because we're going to take a deep dive into that. Thus, the institutionalized spouse can qualify for benefits where the community spouse refuses to cooperate or the community spouse's whereabouts are unknown and the rights are assigned to MassHealth to seek spousal support. So this is how we can get Costa there if everything is, it would be Costa's argument that he was able to do that. Costa argues that Mary refused to cooperate by not providing the financial information. He assigned the rights, therefore he should qualify for MassHealth benefits. MassHealth argues that the couple had a long-term and ongoing practice of cooperating, and her isolated act of refusing to provide the financial information does not satisfy the regulation's requirement. So now, again, MassHealth is expanding this review to what was their overall level of cooperation rather than an isolated act of refusal. So the court, when they're interpreting a regulation, they look to the language of the regulation and they went to the dictionary and looked for the definition of refuses to cooperate. That didn't really get them very far in this case. So then they look at words and phrases used in a statute should be construed by reference to their associated terms in the statutory context. And here the phrase refuses to cooperate, if you remember when we looked at that where it was bolded, is followed immediately by the phrase or whose whereabouts is unknown. And now we're about to go on a language journey with these justices. Including such an isolated refusal to cooperate alongside the sweeping inability to even locate the community spouse makes little sense, they say. The purpose of the Medicaid program, as well as the aim of the MICA, further bolsters MassHealth and the board's construction of the regulation. If we were to follow Costa's construction, it would allow couples to use the pre-existing loophole from back in 1988 to shelter resources from eligibility calculus simply by placing the resources in the community spouse's sole name and undermine the goal of MICA to close this loophole. So the court holds in the end that the agency was reasonable in denying Costa's application, taking all of Mary's actions into account. Living together over 50 years, she continued to care for him. They filed their taxes jointly, and she managed his bank account after he moved to the nursing home. The board was also reasonable to conclude, says the court, that such selective non-cooperation within the context of an otherwise extensive collaboration in other aspects of the marital relationship was insufficient to constitute the type of refusal to cooperate required by the state's regulation to trigger a spousal refusal qualification for MassHealth benefits. So the holding with the court also denies Costa's due process argument, stating that the securitist route of the case does not render it invalid. It's just because it went through all these denials and then back to the court, that wasn't enough to render the case invalid and the judgment by the courts that they were reasonable, that the agency was reasonable in denying Costa's application using spousal refusal. So I think the takeaway from this is if you are in Massachusetts using spousal refusal as a strategy to get somebody qualified for Medicaid benefits, you're really going to have to show a pattern of non-cooperation by the community spouse or just an inability to even know where the community spouse is, much more than what Costa was able to do here with their fact pattern. And thank you so much for attending this latest Behind the Case review of this case from Massachusetts.